All right. We're starting a new series today. I want to talk about the power of God, because I believe a lot of our fears in life in general and in situations and circumstances would be minimized if we understand in a greater way the power of God and His absolute control of all things, so that we can rest in that even when we have what we just prayed about, even when we have the worst things we can imagine that sometimes will hit us, and sometimes God doesn't remove them, and we have to learn to walk through them, and all those things that we struggle with, His power and His resources are able to get us through. And it's usually one day at a time. It's usually sometimes one minute at a time. How many know that your head can take you crazy places in 1 hour? How many don't know that sometimes you can have the faith that moves a mountain, and other times you have the faith you can't even find it under a seed? It's just life. It's just life. But all that stuff takes us to another place of relationship with God. I know from experience that this family that have entered into this are going to go into another place of relationship with God they've never had. Why? Because they never had experienced it before. You don't know God in certain areas till you have to know Him in certain areas and in certain situations. And that changes the way you know God, what you think about God, how you perceive life should be. And so I want to help you today to understand in a greater way. And I'm going to use the scripture that Paul gave us in the book of Ephesians, where he starts off the book by saying, hey, all of you that have come to know the Lord, you've been chosen before creation. You've been chosen by God before He ever created anything to be His. And then he goes on to say that when you understood this, and he talks a little bit about Jesus, and when you understood what Jesus did, and like Chris was sharing with you guys today, and then you enter into that, you are now given the Holy Spirit. And so you are now being transformed from that point on to a different way of doing life and understanding God. And however you think you understand God, there's more to understand about God. And for human beings, the more we understand something, the easier it is to stand under it. When I don't understand something, it's very difficult to stand under it. How many know that? How many have had contempt prior to investigation? I don't know nothing about it, but I know I don't like it. I deal with it every day with our five-year-old. This is a plum. This is really good. You want to bite? Nah, I don't like it. What do you mean you don't like it? You don't even know what it's about. No, I know I don't like it. Why don't you like it? I just don't. Now he's getting annoyed. It's like, man, you don't know what you're missing. This is delicious. So sometimes I can coerce him into trying it, and his thoughts about it are verified. And then other times, his mind is blown, like with the plum, of how good it is. Then he wants to eat three or four of them. And I go, you know, when you get up to six, you're going to have a reaction to that in a few hours. Mom, just giving you that. Nah, not me. Okay. Okay, Mr. Know-it-all. How many of us, when we found out about sex, it was like, what? And then you looked at your parents, contempt prior to investigation. I shouldn't have said that, huh? Hey, you don't have to email me and correct me. I'll get that from her. All right. Help me, Lord Jesus. So Paul, when he gets to the middle of his writing, and remember, he's in prison. He's in lockdown. And so he's writing while life isn't going like he thought it would go. It wasn't happening the way he thought it would happen, at whatever level he was thinking that. And so he's writing this wonderful letter to these people. And then when he gets to the middle of it, he says this. He says, I'm stopping the writing, and I'm going to write my prayer. And he says this. When I think of all this, when I start meditating on the majesty and power of God, because he was explaining it all in the first couple chapters. And he says, I fall to my knees. I'm overwhelmed. And I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. In other words, everything that is seen and everything that is unseen. Things that are verifiable and the things that I can't really verify, but nonetheless are there. He goes, I get overwhelmed. Now, this is a guy that went to the third heaven. So he saw things that we can't, and most of us haven't seen. So he has a little bit more understanding of that than the average person. And he says he meditates on it, and it drops him to his knees. Now, I'm going to explain to you today, starting today, what is seen and unseen and how that it works in our lives. You and I, if we were to look at any wall here, it looks solid to us. I'm going to be talking about a thing called dimensions. A dimension is simply this. It's a reality that is real, since it's called a reality, whether I perceive it or not. Great example is a wall. If I'm looking at that wall right there, it looks solid, but I'm at a distance. If I move closer to the wall, I begin to see markings and changes that are different. I couldn't see it farther away. If I get a microscope, I begin to see what the wall is made of, and I begin to see it's quite porous, and it has holes. And if I can see even farther into that object, I can see that it has molecules and atoms that are invisible to my eye, but that's what is involved in holding that up. And then if I even look farther, I can see that there's even other particles that are smaller than that. Same thing if I look at you. If I'm sitting up here looking at you guys, I see human beings. And some of you, I can tell your sex. And some of you, I can see that you have some different clothes on. But you're just kind of a human being. But if I draw in closer, I can see what color eyes you have. I can see the features of your face. I can see the features in the outline of your body. I can see your hair color. I can see things I can't see. And if I were to venture even farther and look in your body, I would see your veins and your organs and this deeper part of you, although from a distance, I don't have that. Those are all part of the dimensions we're living in that we don't necessarily see the whole thing, though they're real. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Paul goes on to explain that when we begin to understand God and how he loves us in the fullness of what he's made in this creation, we will step back and one, be in awe, and then we will grow in our trust of him in a way we don't when we're just standing back and God is over there doing something. How many of us think of when we think of our problems, they are super big, but when we think of God, he's really busy and he's out there. And I don't know if he can handle this situation. I don't know if he has that. So after Paul says this, he says this in verse 16. He says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources. So his resources are unlimited. He will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. I'm going to talk about that in the next couple of weeks, about the relationship of God with us and how that power works in our life. Today, I want to, and probably next week, focus on just his power to start with and his unlimited resources. How many of us, when we pray to God, we think his resources are rather limited? You know, this is, God, I need some money right now. This is really, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what my future has. I don't know what your plan is for me, God. God goes, well, I don't know either. I'm limited in my resources. I gave out plans to a bunch of people, but you, I your God. I'm not sure of the plan I have for you. I'm not sure how you should navigate this. You know, God is never taken back. He's not like us. He doesn't stress like we stress. He's got unlimited resources to help you in whatever you're dealing with today. He's got the resource. And sometimes that requires us to do something. Our walk with God is not one we sit back and God does it all. Why? He's a good father. He called him father here. He's a good father. I was talking to somebody recently that was dealing with a child that was way sideways. Way sideways. And they did, they moved the mattress around. So no matter where the kid falls, they're catching him on the mattress. They're, you know, and then they started to deal with themselves and started to realize, I need some help because I'm all twisted up in this thing. And that what they thought was nurturing, they come to find out that they're really codependent and enablers. God never has that problem. He never deals with us from a position of weakness. And if I, you know, he's always in control. He'll deal with the young believer. And I'm not doing young in the sense of age in the natural. I'm talking young in the sense of age in the spirit. He'll deal with the young believer in a different way than he deals with the older believer. Why? He's maturing the older believer. And I've shared it with you guys before. That's why when I find out someone's a young believer, I start giving them my prayer list to pray about. Why? Because God is quick to get them the bottle. When you get older, it's like, hold on. Told you I'd get to it. Right? Go get yourself some food. You're a big boy. Girl. God deals with us differently. Why? To mature us. And he has unlimited resources available in every stage of our journey. And now Paul's going to go on to explain to us a little bit about that. And he says this in verse 18, and may you have the power to understand as all God's people should. Oh, so this is something all of us should understand. What is that? How wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is for us. What Paul just gave us was the four-dimensional world you and I live in. You know, the rabbis way back in the Old Testament sat back and they tried to figure out what dimensions, what realities does God live in? The unseen realities, those we don't see, and those we do. How many dimensions must God have power over to run everything? And they came up with the idea of 10 dimensions. Well, you know what? Our scientists, thousands of years later, have come up with the idea of the superstring theory. And they have come up with the idea that there's got to be 10 dimensions. And the superstring theory is kind of like a guitar with 10 strings. And what they all move in harmony together, but they're all separate and they vibrate. And that is what creates the physics, the physical, of everything in the universe. So they're not even taking into consideration all the unseen, or what the scripture would call the heavenlies, the part of God, the place of God in the place we don't even see. So these guys are thinking about that. The rabbis had already thought about that. And then Paul says, I want you to understand the four dimensions you live in, and how God encompasses those four dimensions completely. That's how much he loves you. We can't even grasp that. We don't even know our own dimensions. You know, we know that our best scientists and oceanographers in the world say that we have only explored 5% of the ocean. We don't even know what is all in there. And that's the dimension we live in. All the time we see, they're finding creatures that live so far deep that they never even thought they lived before. There's all this stuff going on that we're discovering, the universes and all this other stuff. Paul says God's love for us encompasses all that. And he says it in this way. He, He says it's wide. Wide has the idea of time. I'm going to break them down for you in a minute. But wide is the same thing as time. How wide? From here to there in length of time. Then he says there is length. Then he says there is height. Then he says there is depth. And God's love for us encompasses all that. So what does that look like? What is he saying here? This guy that isn't a scientist is explaining science to us. We have found out that we live in basically three dimensions. Can we get the first dimension? The first dimension is this. That is which gives length or a line. Everything in the dimension we live in, the universe, everything else, has a line. A line determines how long it's like. If you look at me, I am this long. If I gain weight, I may be a little longer. Then we have the second dimension, which is a line height. I am this tall. Everything in here has a certain length, a certain height. The smallest atom, the smallest molecule, the smallest quantum physics things they've looked at all possess that. When you guys look at a screen, so if you take length, length, height, height, you get a square. When you watch TV, you're watching two-dimensional. It's a square. Now, if you got cool glasses and you got a 3D TV or you go to the theater and you go to 3D, you get the third dimension, which is depth, which we would also call space. This box has space in it. You can put stuff in it. It occupies a certain amount of territory or space. So everything, every one of you has height, length, depth. You're this thick, less or more. And inside, you harbor space. You know, when we speak of the soul, sometimes we think our soul is like this big, massive thing out there. And it's, your soul is housed in here. It's only so big. Your emotions are in here. That's why we have to deal with stuff. Some of us, when we think of dealing with stuff, we think of, I can just cram more and more into this space, and it'll be okay. No, I start leaking out everywhere. How many know that? And so what do? We run away. Now, there's a fourth dimension. So first of all, understand, everything we can perceive in our worlds, the universes, everything out there, what God would call this creation, what we call the natural. So let me jump for a second to the supernatural. The supernatural has the same dynamics. There is a time that God created the supernatural there, and all the beings in the supernatural, all that stuff in the spirit realm, it has space, has a line, has length, has height, and takes up depth. There's the fourth element that we live in, which also is operating there, and it's called time. At this point in time, 12:10, I occupy this space, depth, height, length, in time. In 1 minute, I move along the timeline. That's the fourth dimension. Fourth dimension states this. We got it? Scientists believe that the fourth dimension, oh, there it is time, which governs the properties of all known matter at any given point. All that I've given you at any given point reside on the timeline. You and I live on a timeline, although scientists are saying they're trying to make it so we can go back in the timeline, but all of us in here are living in a timeline that only moves in one direction, forward. Every minute, we're moving a minute forward. We're taking, the only thing we can actually control is us, is our height, length, depth. That's the only thing we actually ever can control. And we're moving along the timeline, and we're limited in our power. That's why Jesus, he said this. He says this. Um, He says, I'm going to get to it. Where am I going to get to it? I'm trying to hurry a little because I know we don't have a lot of time because it keeps moving on me. When you're little, how many know this? When you're little, time just moves way too slow. And when you're old, it's like, are you kidding me? It's August already? It's almost Christmas. It just seems to fly. Why? Because we've been on it a lot longer. And so the timeline tends to speed up in our minds. So, Jesus told them this in Matthew 6:27. Can all your worries, he's talking about trusting him. He says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? That's a time thing. All the worry in the space you have, in the depth you have, and inside your height, length, and depth, can any of that move you along quicker on the timeline? He says, then he goes on to say, well, why do you worry then? Well, what does worry do to us? It messes with our inner person. It messes with the depth while it changes nothing on the timeline. Now, we're trying to go back in time, which is called the fifth dimension. So the scientists and the rabbis were thinking, okay, this is our dimensions. Paul named them for us. This is what we operate in. This is everything we can see and explore in this dimension. What would be the next dimension? Well, Scripture says God operates freely on the timeline. He knows the end of the timeline at the beginning. He accomplishes all his will. In Isaiah 46:9, we're told this. Remember the things I have done in the past. All the things. What is that? All the stuff that occupies space, height, length. All that I've done in the past. He says, know this. For I am, back again, for I alone am God. I am God and there's none like me. Nobody can travel that like I can. Then he says this, only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass to do whatever I wish. No person, no being, no demon, no circumstance can alter God's timeline. Yeah, but Joe, I've seen lots of movies where they travel back in time, like Back to the Future. That was awesome. And there was three of them. And in Back to the Future, they could alter the time of what happens in the future by that. Well, let's just say man can figure that out. Maybe he already has. That still doesn't change one iota of God's power. God already knew they would do that, already allowed him to do that, and is still working out his plan. Why? Because some of us have done that. If only God would have given me different family, I wouldn't be the mess I am today. I wouldn't be this. I wouldn't be that. How many have ever said that? Well, let's do it the easy way. Who hasn't said that? We've already had the five-year-old tell us numerous times, I'm running away. I'm done here. Gonna make my own way. Gonna travel the universe. I say, well, you might want to take off the Batman outfit because I think you're a little weird out there. Or if you're a girl, take off the princess, you know, whatever princess thing you got on. Because that they ain't going to think you're a big princess out there, you know. So, fifth dimension states this, the travel on the timeline. It's the dimension of God. You want to get a little cool little insight about something? In heaven, they, our loved ones, those that have gone before us in generations, have an aspect of that. They can't travel back in time to see what was it like in the Roman period. What was that like? But they can talk to every Christian that lived there. They can talk to everybody that's passed before us on the timeline of God's plan. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that an awesome thing to think about, even in the just that little smidgen? And so their understanding, and that's why they say there, you know, there's no pain in heaven. They understand that we're suffering, they see that, but they also have a perspective we don't. They see the long line of God's kids, the martyrs, everybody. And they see, wow, God's plan's working out just like he wants it to. Oh, they're in trouble now. They're suffering right now, but it's all right. It's going to work out. Right, Pete? How'd you like when going where you didn't want to go? How was a hanging upside down thing? How was that? Was it worth it to you? Oh, yeah, for the glories before me. What did Jesus say? I went to the cross. I understand everything. So listen, you and I operate in four dimensions: height, length, space, and time. The only thing we can alter at some degree is us. My height can change. If I'm a certain height here, if you came up here, I'm really tall. I've just altered my height. If I gain weight, lose weight, I've altered that. If I deal with my emotional world right, I alter my well-being. If I don't deal with it, I alter it too. I have that, but I am always on the timeline. And when I understand what Paul says, why he fell down and started worshiping God and couldn't even write anymore, is he got that God's love for us. God's love for us encompasses all of that. All of that. So here's my word to you guys today, because we're going to stop here and we'll pick up the next five next week and look at what are the other dimensions that are in the known universe, and then there's all the outside. See, this is the thing about the devil. He was not made to live in these dimensions. He doesn't live in what our natural is. He is a being from what we would call the supernatural, but it's still a dimension. When he sinned and was cast down to earth, he brought his supernatural body that was designed to live in that environment, just like you and I will always be designed to live in this environment. The new heaven and the new earth, we will increase in capacity because we will deal with both dimensions and all the dimensions about that someday, like it was in the Garden of Eden. But right now, we are limited to this. And when the enemy was thrown down here, he is operating in a dimension that is not his natural habitat. That's why possession is what he wants to do. Whether it's territory, whether it's your life, anything. He wants to inhabit a body because that at least puts him in this dimension. So he operates to try to destroy this dimension, to shake his fist at God. When he was designed, he was supposed to serve men. The angels, it tells us in Hebrews, they're designed. They were built to serve us. They come from another dimension, but they serve us. Why? And we're a lesser being. We don't have some of the dimensional qualities they have. Angels can go through walls. Angels have some abilities and talents, and they look different than us that we don't have, just like we have talents and abilities dogs and cats don't have. We have things, but they fit in our dimension, in the dimensions we live in. So this is what I want you to know. Next time you're tripping, and we're going to trip, because along this timeline, we're not going to understand why God allows what he allows. Why God does what he does. Why can't I get over this thing that I've been fighting forever? What is going on here, God? How come you deliver some people and you don't heal these people? How come this operates and that doesn't? How come? And that's what I was thinking when I was heard about this man today. I was thinking he's entering into a world of questions he never had to have before. They never came upon him. Because why? When you enter into that kind of tragedy, you start to quite, what it takes. And I was talking to somebody else recently that had a similar situation, and they were saying they just want to get back to the faith they had. I said, no, and I feel like I'm losing my faith. I said, no, your faith's going to another level. When you question God, you're going to another level. When you're trying to understand, and some of it is, I'll never understand, can I stand under that? Only by his unlimited resources can we. We cannot do that on our own. We cannot stand under what we don't understand by our resources. Heck, I couldn't follow rules if I didn't make them. How many did that? I didn't make that rule. I didn't vote for that. I ain't following it. I ain't standing under that. Stop signs, stop suggestions. Speed limit, whatever. Depends if I'm in a hurry or not. You know, we our ability to understand, when he says, when I understand the magnitude of God's love for me and his power and his unlimited resources to me at where I'm at in the timeline, because it's always present is where you're at. And I've already moved 10 minutes along on the timeline. Some of you are thinking, don't move too much farther, Joe. You're doing good. Don't blow it at the end, brother. And when Chris said, you know, hey, I went too long. Sorry, Joe. I leaned over to Therese. I said, is he really? Because I think not. So listen, next time you're tripping, I love the beach. The beach is, when I sit at the beach, there is something about the water and the vastness of it that gives me an understanding of how much God knows. And that's just one little tiny, tiny smidgen of his creation, which taxed him not at all. God didn't finish making the ocean and go, man, I carried a lot of buckets of water. Woo, that thing was deep. He didn't trip on it. He doesn't ever exhaust his powers. And the scripture says he holds us in his hand and he thinks about us. He's well aware of you. He's well aware of you on this timeline. So don't go sideways off it. What you don't understand, understand that he understands. And he who put all this in order for us to live in understands exactly where you're at. And if he's going to have you walk through the unbearable, he will somehow resource you to bear it. If he's going to eliminate it, somewhere along the line, he'll take it away. He can do what he wants to accomplish what he wants. And the timeline here is only so long. And then we join up in a new timeline in heaven, which that heaven will be separate from the earth only for a period of time. The beautiful thing in the book of Revelation is they join together and they'll be together for a time that will not have an endpoint time. And you and I will get our bodies back and we will function in the domain God has given us with major upgrades. And we will also function with the beings from the other planes, and we won't be them, they won't be us, but we'll be unified. That's why Paul falls down. He goes, when I start to meditate on that kind of stuff, I can't even take it in. I can't grasp it. So here's what you need to do. You need to be bold to come to God in prayer for whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever you need help in, knowing he's got all the resources necessary to answer your prayer the way he wants to, or to give you the resources to walk out what he wants you to walk out regarding that issue. He has not run out when it comes to you, and your preconceived ideas will be challenged. Just like in the natural, that 5-year-old's My five-year-old's preconceived ideas are going to be challenged over time many, many, many different ways. He loved school for the first 4 days. I don't want to volunteer to go to that no more. Interferes with all my play time. Greatly interferes with my life. I go, I know. Hey, guess what? On the timeline? Yeah, it's another 12 minimum. Some of us said, yeah, we only want 7 and look where we're at. Because we're the shortcut people. Teresa and I have talked many a times. When our kids got to be teenagers, we longed to go back in time when they were 4. We thought that was exhausting. And it is. But man, when they got to be teens, homicide became a thought. At least in my mind, And when 18, it's like, hey, now you're living under our rules. If you don't like them, I understand. Totally get it. Totally get it. But you can't live here. How many have ever done that? You want to live here? Hey, we want you to live here. But not with her. And you want to marry her? Yeah, you can have her over. But if, you know. Anyway. Anywho. Here's the deal. Know that you're here on the timeline. God's got resources for you with whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, that are enough. As Jesus said, every day has its own trouble. He'll give you enough for today. That's all you ever have to worry about. Oh, you can plan for the future, but keep it flexible because you don't know. You don't know. You don't know. And so he does. And so I have to learn to trust that. And he'll give me the resources when he says no. When we've done everything we can for a yes and everything, and then God says sometimes no. How do we deal with that? That's where you don't want your faith to get shipwrecked. Because it can. I know some of you guys are in recovery and you're going through some stuff, and everybody's in recovery of some kind of thing they're going through. Recovery in life after we've been rocked in a storm is where we get shipwrecked a lot. Understand from God's perspective, you're in that place on the timeline, but you're moving. You're going to move. You're going to move. You may have to carry something for a long time, maybe the rest of your life, but you're going to move, and God's still working. He's not done yet. When God's done with you on the timeline, you're gone. You're done. Until that point, you're not done. Stay the course. Amen? Can we stand up? And when you start tripping, realize this. All the grains of sand that you'll see at the beach, he knows the number. He knows that number. He allowed them to be there. The oceans, the things that you see, the dimensions you see, and the ones you don't. He's fully in charge. So Lord Jesus, let's pray after me if you would. Lord Jesus, I know that I am made of height, length, and depth, and that you have placed me on a timeline. In all of history, I occupy this place on the timeline. Let me live by the power of your unlimited resources. Well, on the line you've placed me on. And I know that it's a moving thing. I can't go backward, and I certainly can't hurry it. I am where I am. I need you where I am. And I choose today to trust you, because you put all creation for me. This is my domain, and you control it all. And you said your plan is good. and that it will work out for good. For me, for your glory, and the benefit of others. So I choose today to trust you. And you know where that lies. You know where my quantity of trust is. God, I need more. I need more faith. I have faith. I need more. And I trust your unlimited resources to help me. So I'll do what you say to do. And I don't what you say to don't. Strengthen me that I may do that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.